Welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. We're back for double-digit weeks, week 10. Man, MWC Connection is our website. We produce some stuff at that may or may not be excellent. Not Pulitzer good, but maybe excellent. Our Twitter's MWC Connection. I'm lying. We're not very good at that either. Jeremy Moss here, Matt Kennerly. Well, I'll say this. You're the best writer on our staff.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Partially, you're in the writing program at Fresno, so I think it's hard to argue.
No excuses then, huh?
Hey, I'm not putting pressure on you. I'm just saying, sure, why not? Yeah, you must be very good next time you write something.
But which, you know, the pressure, right?
No, you're good. It's always good. I'm just messing around because we're starting here, and like I said, week 10. We'll talk about games, obviously. We talk about ramification. I'm going to pull up I'll direct you guys to something now. Matt, you probably already have this pulled up, but the football study hall profiles for Wyoming and maybe Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
You typically look at those, correct? Each Monday or Sunday night.
That is one of my primary resources for our previews every week.
Good to know. The reason I want to pull it up because I want to look at kind of like percentage chances and kind of look at the big picture race a little bit since, it's going haywire in the Mountain Division, so we'll get to that. We'll talk a little bit about the college football playoff ranking, or poll, the initial one, which is, we don't need to spend more than probably 3 minutes on it. We might spend five, but let's just say this. There's a lot of football left to be played.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very, very interesting November, just based on my first impression.
Or even last week with all the undefeated teams losing.
And that's exactly why it's going to be interesting.
So let's start that part now here. We'll get to the game stuff momentarily, but the first poll came out. Jerry Palm of CBS, who's kind of been a little oddball in this, went on, I think it went on SB Nation Radio Sunday afternoon, saying his numbers, his projections have Texas A&M number four, mm-hmm. and not Washington. They're number four with the loss. And this will circle back to what we're going to get to in a moment, but the reason was because you know how it is, Matt. The strength of schedule is a big deal, right? For who you played, who you beat.
It should be, yeah.
And so here's what I'm getting at with that. I don't care about A&M or the playoff. No Mountain West or undefeated Western Michigan, who, by the way, right now they are taking care of business. They should be winning that Maction game this evening versus Ball State. But what we're getting at is that the poll came out and Boise State was, were you surprised they were 24th?
Not really. I was mostly surprised that Western Michigan was not one or two spots higher.
But just one spot higher.
Yeah. I thought Boise was right around where they should be, if not a little higher. And I thought Western Michigan was a little lower than I expected them to be.
Yeah, they're sitting at 23, undefeated. They beat whatever you want to call them, Illinois and Northwestern. They beat a pair of Big Ten teams. Good for them. But what I want to get to about with, again, a lot of football, so we don't want to stress too much about freaking out or anything. And the reason we want to bring out the football study hall profiles is they have the percentage of who's going to win out. But quick note, with the back to the Texas A&M Washington thing, the committee came out and said, well, we think A&M played a better schedule, yet they have a loss. I'm like, okay, that's whatever. I'm like, I had no plans on talking about that until I saw this from Reddit CFB. Baylor, 6-1. Strength of schedule, 88. Western Michigan ranked 17th. Maybe it's a difference here. I made an error when I spoke to you before, but Western Michigan, 8-0, SOS basically in the same neighborhood at 92, six spots lower. This is for the Massey ratings, however you say it.
That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
It doesn't. They have a loss. Yeah, better schedule, but or SOS, but I know with numbers and like even with our guy who does our who is it? The Boise guy does the computer rankings for the underdog poll.
Yeah.
His numbers have Western Michigan number one when everybody's freaking out about Houston and Boise State when they're undefeated. So we know there's a lot of football to be played, but it's just odd to see that the Big 12, which is a mess, not very good, has a team six spots higher just because.
Yeah.
it's just weird. And with Boise State, I guess they get credit for beating Washington State, who's ranked, but there's a lot more to get to it. But seeing Boise ranked where they're at, what will be interesting if, say, Western Michigan happens to lose at one point, where they won't rank past 25 unless they have to. Because remember when Marshall was undefeated a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
It took to what, week 10?
Yes.
Or 10-0 or something. But just to keep an eye on that stuff. We're not going to go much more into it. We'll get to some game-by-game conference stuff. But that's where the only two schools are ranked at our little section of the world. And no San Diego State. Not surprising at all, really.
It also would not surprise me if the Aztecs keep winning the way that they have for basically the last month. You know, if they sneak into the top 25 3 weeks from now, like going into the season finale, basically,
mm-hmm.
I would not be shocked. And I think at that point, if Western Michigan slips up in the finale against Toledo, I think that, you know, at that point, I think that bodes very well for San Diego State's chances to kind of sneak in there late. If they can take care of business in the finale and then, of course, in the conference title game.
Wherever they play. Yeah, because that's my other point. With it being so close to Boise State, I don't know how far the Aztecs were in the list because we don't know. But I would assume, well, I can't assume anything because of the playoff bowl, but I guarantee they're discussed for those final five spots.
Yeah.
And, hey, you know what I really like about this poll? There's no Ole Miss anywhere to be found. No 3-5 Ole Miss anywhere to be found, but I bet they're close, so we'll see. But that's all we're going to talk about for the playoff poll. Depending when it comes out every week, we may do a couple minutes on it if Boise keeps winning or whatever, because we kind of do that stuff. But let's get to games. We'll stick with Boise State because they are a Friday night game taking on San Jose State at home. I'm assuming you have seen what this wagering line is so far.
I have not.
Take a guess. They're hosting the Spartans.
28.5?
Ooh, you're getting good at this. 29.5.
Oh, okay. All right.
Jeremy McNichols over under 225 total yards.
Setting the line awfully high there, huh?
This is the Spartans defense we're talking about.
This is the Spartans defense, sadly. I will be conservative and say that, you know, I will take the under on that.
Okay. Well, this game, like, Boise should win. Here's the thing. I'm not going to take right now. We already know Boise should win. That's my pick. I'm going to pick Spartans to cover because last time when it was nearly the same number versus CSU, albeit a road game, ended up being a 5-point finish, 28-23, but...
Here's something I didn't realize coming into this matchup as I was looking into it before we jumped on today. Did you realize that Boise State on average has the worst starting field position in the FBS?
Not surprising. It is surprising, but the reason I'm thinking is not real quick because their special teams are just awful.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't realize that it was that bad because if you look at, you know, Football Study Hall, you know, Bill Connolly has his five factors and, you know, Boise's, you know, top 20 in explosiveness, top 20 in efficiency, you know, top 20 or actually almost top 10 in finishing drives as far as, you know, points per trip inside the 40. Field position, though, they're dead last,
yeah.
Which is really interesting because when you think about this particular matchup, you know, the chances are that it's going to be a long, you know, evening for the Spartans, but... They still have one of the better punters in the conference in Michael Carrizosa, who, again, is having another really good year. So, you know, I think the key for the Spartans to, you know, stay in the game, let alone make up, you know, an upset of some kind, they're really going to have to keep tilting the field position in their favor. And I think that'll come down to someone like Carrizosa, who's, you know, he's punted 50 times this year. He's gotten 13 of them inside the 20, and, you know, 12 of them have been fair catches. So he's been okay as far as, you know, holding out returns, but it'll be interesting to see exactly how that shakes out. Because if you make Boise keep having to drive the length of the field, you know, obviously they've shown a proficiency to do that. We talked about, of course, their 99-yard drive last week against Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you make them work for their drives... You know, anything can happen because, you know, we've seen Brett Rippon turn the ball over a few times. We've seen them be prone to turnovers in the same way that they were at times last year. You know, but on the flip side too, you know, if San Diego creates, or if, excuse me, if San Jose creates opportunities in their own part of the field, then they're going to have to figure out how to finish drives too, because Boise is one of the best in that regard. And the Spartans are one of the worst in the Mid-Nation. You know, they're 117th right now in finishing their own drives.
Yeah, they're going to need a lot to be done. Yeah. To maybe get this a victory. They're going to do a lot. Like, their secondary is good. Maybe they'll pick off Rippon and do something, get a short field. But I don't know how much. I think Kenny Martin could throw well, but I don't know how well he could throw. Because he'll need to throw for like 400-plus yards. I'm thinking a clean game, a great running attack. I don't think San Jose can put together the complete game they'll need. They'll need to keep Kenny Putter upright, which, as we both know, has been a massive struggle for them this year.
Yeah.
And I think that guys like Daniel Mola or Tanner Vallejo will get back there and get a couple sacks, or at least make Kenny Potter earn every yard he gets.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right about that. You know, I think that they may have an edge on special teams, and the secondary may be able to keep Boise's receivers in check for most of the game. But like you said, I have my doubts about their ability to stop McNichols, first of all, and for, you know, basically keeping the Boise State offense at bay for 60 minutes.
Yeah, they're going to win. Boise's going to win big. I don't think there's anything else to talk about this game, is there?
Not that I could think of, no.
Me neither. We'll move on. Boise's going to win big. Sorry, Spartans fans, but it's going to be a long night. And Boise's going to be pissed to want to win this game. So I guess the only one last thing is like the turnover margin. Boise's -9 on the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, secondary maybe get some cheap, like I said, cheap turnovers, short field, muff punt for a touchdown or something. So next game, we'll go. Everything's on Saturday after this. Big slate on Saturday. We have one more non-conference game, Army hosting Air Force, an Air Force team that's actually one win away from going bowling. This game kicks at 12 Eastern on the East Coast, so it's a breakfast game for most of us, and it's on CBS Sports Network streaming. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. There was some interesting stuff last week with apparently Comcast streams and online, I guess.
It's apparently through one of their apps. So if you've got like an Android or an iPhone, you may want to check on that sometime between now and then.
You might. And I have a workaround as well, because I know there's a couple providers, like Cox is a big one. But if you have DirecTV and say you're not at home or something, there's a workaround you can do. Record the game. And this might work on any other app. This might work on anything else where you can record to your TV and then watch recorded stuff on your phone or tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Where I've done this before. I knew I couldn't watch it in my house because there's too many people doing things. I'm like, all right, I'll record it on my DVR. I pull up the app on my phone, choose my recorded shows, and then basically you're streaming it maybe a minute or two behind if you start right away. And so That's a workaround as well if you want to stream it on a mobile device and you're not at home. So record it. Check your DVR and your app for your Comcast, Xfinity, Dish, Sling, whatever you have, PlayStation, View, whatever, all that stuff. So that's a workaround. So, but if you have Comcast, yeah, check that Xfinity app and see how that works. But this game, like I said, Army, do you know the last time Army, when they went bowling? Do you have that offhand?
I do not, but if you want to talk for like 60 seconds, I can look that up.
Sure, because I didn't know that either. But Air Force, they got off the snide last week winning. They're also one win away from going bowling. We need to look at their quarterback situation because Nate Romine left. So we're not sure who's going to... Let's put it this way. The backup quarterback... nope, that's wrong team. I'm looking at Army. I apologize, folks.
Last time Army went to a bowl game, the 2010 Armed Forces Bowl, where they won against SMU.
Okay, not too long ago. So a couple years ago. And Army's much better. They've been playing well. They beat Temple to start the year. They're improving to what they used to be. They beat Wake Forest last week, which is... Wake Forest is 5-3, so that's a little bit of something to say you beat them.
I forget who said it. Somebody on Twitter, I think it might have been Bill C, said that Army was like one of the most volatile teams in the country. Because if you look at their wins and losses, you know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that this same team would beat Temple convincingly. And then, you know, they beat Rice convincingly. Of course, Rice is one of the worst teams in the FBS, but then like utterly destroy UTEP.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this, you know, in the next stretch of games that they play,
lose Buffalo,
lose to Duke, and lose to North Texas. So there's been a little bit, I guess, of inefficiency on their offense at times. And so the question that I have about, you know, the Black Knights is which offense is going to show up? Because on the whole, like, of course, you know, they run the triple option there, just the same as Air Force does. But they've been just about as efficient, you know, and they've been just about as, you know, they've benefited from just about the similar kind of field position, if not a little bit better than Air Force. But is that going to show up in this game? That's kind of the thing I would want to, I'd want to watch for.
I also think it depends on what Air Force defense shows up for this game, too.
Yeah.
Because they've been hit or miss. They got to win last week, but I'm wondering if we may see a game similar to New Mexico where it was just run, run, and more running, and nobody could stop anybody first to 35 or 40 gets a victory. But really quick on Nate Romine, he missed the most recent update we have is today, actually within the past, well, for us, Tuesday night, essentially. On Tuesday, Romine missed most of practice, and so he may... Great, if I could read this story without registering, I would. Oh, Colorado Springs, because I blame Woody... I blame them having to pay Woody Page's exorbitant salary to make me have struggling to take stupid quizzes or click on ads to get to the article.
He's not even a writer.
Is that... No, is that fair to blame him?
Yes.
Really quick, here's what it is. Yeah, we go by practice. This is Troy Calhoun, head coach. Oh, come on! You talk for me. I'm going to figure this out. He didn't. He barely practiced today, but I want more details. He may not be playing Saturday. Ugh.
So while you're doing that, then I will remind people of what I said, kind of in our recap a couple days ago, which, you know, even if Worthman is the starter, if you watch the game and what he did in the second half, I think as an Air Force fan, you're probably fine. What I would watch for in that instance is the fact that, you know, I've talked about Havoc rate in the past, and Army's, you know, defensive line, as far as Havoc rate, ranks 126th in the country. So they aren't, you know, the guys up front aren't making a lot of stops. But at the same time, Army's linebackers are second in the country. And if you just run down, you know, the list of guys who lead the team in tackles for loss, Alex Aukerman has 10.5 in 5 sacks. You know, Andrew King has, you know, 4 sacks, 7.5 tackles for loss. Jeremy Timpf has 5.5 sacks. So these are linebackers that are mostly, you know, veterans. So they know this defense and they've been making plays, you know, pretty much week in and week out. So I think regardless of whoever is the starter, whether it's Romine or Worthman, they're going to have trouble, I think, getting past the second level and getting those big runs that they may have found a week ago against Fresno State.
Very possibly. I would say the Worthman's faster because that's what people said. Ah, here we go. You want to know my workaround? Add it to pocket.
Nice.
And then go read a pocket. So here's what Troy, I think this is a whole article. It's kind of short, but basically saying we go by practice, what's done throughout the week, each day as we go for each position that we have. So basically, if you don't practice, you don't play. And with him, again, it's early in the week. He practiced minimally Tuesday, and Wortham was the number one QB in practices. So Calhoun obviously won't, he's not a dummy, and he won't do a Ron Carragher who a couple years ago who said, here's my starting quarterback on Monday. No, Calhoun is going to hold off, and he basically says we don't want to do an evaluation so quickly. So let's point to, like I said, it's probably not going to make, it's, the only difference I would say is probably fewer passes with Worthman, but he's a bit faster. So it's just, well, a little bit, but it may take out Jalen Robinette if Wortham is a starter.
And I mean, I think what I just said about, you know, Air Force's linebackers being kind of the strength of their defense, you know, the same thing has also been true of the Falcons because, you know, as far as Havoc rate goes, their defensive line is 125th, which is right down there with Army. Mm. Their linebackers' Havoc rate is 4th. So, you know, I think that Ahmad Bradshaw for Army is going to have probably just as much trouble finding big plays against this Air Force defense the same way that I would expect, you know, Army's defense to really put up a fight against Worthman or Romine, whoever's on their center. I think what you could say about Air Force, though, is if they can make stops on early downs, especially like first and second down, one thing that stands out is, you know, just looking at the split stats, third and middle, which is basically like third and anywhere from 4 to 6 yards to go, Army's only averaging 2.5 yards per carry.
Ooh.
And if you compare that to how they do in third and short situations, which is basically 3 yards or less, you know, in those situations, they average almost 5.5 yards per carry. So if the Air Force front seven can make plays, basically get them off schedule, force them into third and middle, third and long situations, I think that can put them at an advantage, because Air Force, or not Air Force, Army is not exactly a great throwing team either.
Yeah, 6 interceptions by Bradshaw, 7 as a team, and then Bradshaw only completes barely 45% for first passes. So, and then also, there's no, Andy Davidson's their main rusher. He actually has fewer carries than Bradshaw. It's him and Bradshaw who have over 550 yards each. They just have a lot of guys, like, similar to Air Force. You have a lot of guys who get a few carries here, a few carries there, but it's basically a two-man attack. So if you can slow down either Davidson or Bradshaw, that's kind of how they'll get the victory. They do have this guy, Darren Wolfork, who has 6 touchdowns on only 59 carries, but it's just the two guys, Davidson or Bradshaw. If they can slow them down, that's basically, like you said, do that. And then, like you said, make it be third and middle, third and five-ish. Make them throw or do that 2 yards per carry. Do that a lot, and then Air Force probably can just take care of business, but I don't know. I just don't trust this Air Force defense. They played a little bit better, but they've been kind of off the past month.
So what do you think is going to happen? Who do you got in this game?
What was the line? It's sitting at, I'm curious. There is no line, apparently. What the? Is that correct?
Interesting.
Let me go to Pick7.
Well, if you want to talk for 30 seconds.
Yeah, okay. Here's what I have here. So I have it here. It's a 1-point favorite. Basically, pick them. Army's 1-point favorite. Looking at the team rankings and Number Fire actually has Army. Has Air Force winning by a point. Number Fire has Army winning by a field goal. I will say, it's just tough to tell because the Air Force team has been so weird. I'll go with Air Force just because I think they kind of turned around. I know they beat Fresno, and Fresno's not like a good gauge of say, oh, we beat Fresno. Sorry, but they're not a team where they're a team that breaks losing streaks this year, essentially. I'm sorry, Matt, but saying you beat Fresno is not going to instill a ton of confidence saying Air Force is back. Better, yes, but I'll still go with Air Force winning outright because I think they will do just enough. But I think it will be like a game where it's maybe a touchdown game, fewer than about 5 points or so. But Air Force for the win.
I think I'm going to have to take Army.
Ooh, why is that?
I think it'll be a close game. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if it were like a 17-14 type of game. But, you know, I think Army on the whole has shown that they can just be a little more methodical, a little more consistent than Air Force has from week to week. Like, if you're looking at the number of plays that they've run or the number of long rushing plays, you know, Army leads the country right now in 10 plus yards carries, you know, and that's even more than New Mexico, which we've talked about, you know, at length. In New Mexico, of course, is the most explosive running offense in the country.
Maybe I should change my pick after hearing that.
So
I don't know, realize that.
If I'm looking for a deciding factor, I think, you know, to me, that's probably it.
I'll say this. Not to preface to be a cop-out, but if Nate Romine plays, I think they might win just because he will get Jalen Robinette more involved in the passing game. Even though that might only be 4 catches, but that could be 4 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So that's why if Romine plays, I'll say they win by about 4 or 5 points. But regardless, it's going to come down to late in the game where it's going to be, there'll be a game, a team will be going down to win it. Like, a game winning drive will be involved in this game of some sort.
Yeah. And I mean, don't forget, I think Army has bowl eligibility at stake in this game too.
Yep. Each team has 5 wins at the moment.
And of course they're still playing for the Commander-in-Chief trophy as well. Cause, you know, obviously they don't play Navy until the end of the year.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot on the line here.
Yeah.
And I think Army's going to show up to play. And I think that it'll be, you know, tough, low scoring, but I'd expect the Black Knights to come out with it.
They will be a good one. Right now, if Air Force wins, they take the Commander in Chief because they'll be 2-0.
Yeah.
And then if they lose, it depends what there's. Because Navy won it last year, correct?
I believe so,
Keenan Reynolds. So if there's a three-way tie, it goes to the team who had it prior. So if Army wins and then Navy beats Army, Navy retains the CIC.
Yeah.
All right. So next game, Fresno State at Colorado State.
I'm going to be there.
That's right. When are you taking off for that game? You drive in Friday, I'm assuming?
I have class Thursday night, so we're basically taking off to San Francisco right after that, staying overnight with some family, and then taking off to Denver on Friday afternoon.
So the since you're in San Francisco, are you taking I-80 across then?
Oh, no, we're flying this time. We're not driving.
never mind then. Good for you. Even better.
By the way, if you're a Colorado State fan who happens to be listening to this, I am open to suggestions as for things to do, consume, and et cetera, in Fort Collins. So hit me up on Twitter.
MattK_FS.
Yes.
You might need to mention that. So where are you flying into? Denver, Fort Collins, or?
We're flying into Denver and then taking a
Not Fort Collins. I mean, Colorado Springs or Denver. Denver?
We're flying into Denver.
Yeah. Okay. I've been there. You went to Nebraska, so you know what it's like, kind of. that'll be exciting. Not driving is the exciting part. Good for you for being able to finagle that, because, man, your drive last time to Nebraska. I've driven from Utah to Texas multiple times. I hate it. It's the worst thing ever, driving that much. But let's get to the game. So Fresno at CSU. Do you know the what the line is on this matchup?
Let's see.
You tweeted these out on Sunday, so you should know.
Well, I mean, I know it changes between now and then, but I don't remember half of the things I write. Let's see. And I started at 13, right? My guess is it probably went up.
Yeah, 15 and a half.
That does not surprise me.
Before we get to the game, let's do a miniature coaching update.
Okay.
So, Fresno State, of course. Eric Kiesel, they lost their last game, obviously. So I mentioned last night, it's very quiet. And you agreed with me, very quiet means it's Jeff Tedford all the way.
Yes.
And one quick note from the Fresno Bee saying that AD Jim Bartko, is going to conduct several in-person interviews. No mention of potential names, but still everything points to Jeff Tedford getting the job.
Yeah. I mean, what I've heard, what people have told me, and this is like kind of secondhand, so it's not like I'm an insider or anything like that.
Hearsay.
Yeah, hearsay, basically. But what my understanding is that, of course, I heard Tedford's name almost a year ago now, and I didn't want to believe it. But what I'm hearing recently is that it was really kind of those big money boosters who are more or less forcing Bartko's hand in this matter. They want him to replace Tedford as kind of leverage for ponying up the money for Tim Drewder's buyout.
I hate this so much.
Yeah, it's a bad move. It's kind of bad for business, I think, to let the boosters have that much influence.
I get you should have some say a little bit here or there, like, hey, I'll take your input, but here's a couple of things about this, because we mentioned this before the show. This is, or even last week, this is Jim Bartko's first AD job, first big hire. Mm-hmm. And it seems that, yes, you need money to pony up to get rid of Drewder to pay his buyout. But it seems like they're bullying him, or people want too much influence in the program where there shouldn't be any. It shouldn't be the booster's decision. Plus, if I'm correct, there's not like one super big booster at Fresno, correct?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, I know that there are a couple of anonymous boosters who've given in the last 6 months or so for like the Bulldog Stadium renovations and all that stuff. But I mean, there's no like T. Boone Pickens or anything like that.
Yeah, Phil Knight or anything close to that. Okay.
Yeah.
But it just seems like they're bullying him. Like, oh, this is a new guy. We can influence them. But here's the thing. You're right. He could bite them, because if Jeff Tedford does go belly up, who's going to come up with the money again? You dummies who made the decision to want to hire this bad coach.
Well, I mean, I don't think Tedford's going to be as expensive as DeRuiter. I think they're looking for a steward for the program to get them back to respectability. I just, you know, what I've been saying all along is I don't think that's the right move. Because if you look around the group of five, the teams that have taken flyers on up-and-coming OCs especially right now are the teams that are winning big. You know, I'm talking about teams like Memphis, Western Michigan, you know, even Boise State bringing Brian Harsin back, you know, Colorado State. You know, they brought in Mike Bobo, who was, you know, fairly consistent offenses at Georgia, stuff like that. And that's, you know, I'll just say it again very briefly before we move on to the game. That's why I think it's the bad move.
Yeah, and reminder everybody, PJ Fleck was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver coach prior to taking over to Western Michigan.
And he had zero ties to Western Michigan.
Oh, you want to bring up the USC transfer real quick?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Max Brown. Also a bad idea.
Well, for two reasons. He only has 1 year of eligibility left, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought he had more than one, so I put on Twitter, hey, Aztecs. Because I was just kind of joking, like, hey, Christian Chapman's not the best, he's okay. But then you mentioned to me, because I replied on Twitter with just bashing a keyboard, because you said, bring him to Fresno because...
Tedford offered him back in the day. It's like, look how well that worked out with Zach Klein, okay?
Let's get to
already talking about it, and I just want to say stop. So let's talk about the game.
And the video that somebody put out, the tailgating people who want Tedford. Did you notice it was all the older fans for the most part?
Yes.
Like 55 older, I want to say.
That did not escape my attention.
Let's bring back the guy who's from town. Ugh. All right, game time. Colorado State at Fresno State. Fresno State at Colorado State. You'll be there. So give us an update of what happens at the game, but I'm surprised it's over. Are you surprised it's a 16-point favorite, essentially, for the Rams, who are just okay?
Not really, because Fresno State is bad.
They are 1-8. Is that 1-8? Is my computer correct?
That is correct.
I had to make sure I didn't have a smudge over that one. 1-8. Oh, jeez. Is this going to be a game where we see Nick Stevens, since they were off last week, the Rams, that they'll actually have a another good passing performance?
I think this is the kind of game where Stevens probably just keeps handing the ball off 60 times. Like, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, Dalen Dawkins and Izzy Matthews and Marvin Kinsey all get like somewhere between 80 and 100 yards in this game, you know, especially late, because, you know, as I've mentioned in the past, you know, Fresno State, especially in the second halves of games and especially in the fourth quarters of games, haven't shown any ability to stop the run. Like, they're dead last nationally in both, you know, the number of attempts that opponents have run against them and in yards allowed on the ground. I think they've allowed almost 800 yards in fourth quarters alone. And, you know, if I'm Colorado State, I'm probably trying to be balanced early, you know, just because, you know, Nick Stevens has improved in, you know, from start one to start two since becoming the starter again. But, you know, if I were Colorado State, if I were Mike Bobo, I would probably try and find big plays early in the passing game and then just run the ball late.
Do what Bobo does, right? Run the ball.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, he's got three running backs who've shown flashes, but he's also up against a defense that, you know, hasn't been able to stop anybody consistently.
Yeah, and even with the backs, like, it's not like the Rams' rushing offense has been great. It's been inconsistent, to be nice. But I think you're right with Dawkins, Matthews, or Kinsey, or whomever runs the ball. Because here's the thing, even though they're not that great overall, or maybe not consistent, they're all averaging almost, like, especially Dawkins and Kinsey, nearly 5 yards a carry. And Izzy Matthews is over four. So that's pretty good. That's not great, but that's good enough. So one of those three guys will break through and have decent game.
And I mean, in the passing game too, I think the guy that if you're Fresno State, you want to focus on is Michael Gallup, who, you know, especially since coming into conference play, has really come into his own. Like, I'm just looking up his numbers. He's got 22 catches for almost 400 yards, 18 yards a catch in conference play, which is, you know, really good. And I think that's kind of the productivity they were missing at times earlier in the year. But, you know, Gallup has been the guy to really step up and give them that. So I'm interested to see, you know, just how many targets he gets and, you know, if they decide to stretch the field, how often they do it.
And he's also has 3 of his 5 touchdowns in league play as well. So, yeah. So what about, let's go to Fresno. Where do you think, like, where they could have their chance to take advantage of Colorado State? Because the Rams defense, whatever, like, I probably the 5th time I'm saying this, but Marty English to one game afterwards a couple weeks ago said, oh, we can't tackle, we missed 20 tackles. Since then, basically since the second half of Utah State game, their defense has tightened it up quite a bit. And playing UNLVs, they have some decent running backs, again, or the Rams did, and they did pretty well against the, excuse me, I'm looking at 5 different things. The Rams did pretty well against Rebels last week on the defense, so like anybody, like you're running a game there out in Fresno, any confidence of them moving the ball on the ground just in case the bad Rams defense shows up?
Is Freak Blizzard a viable answer?
Weather for the moment, 64 and rainy.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying. I mean, honestly, you know, Colorado State's defense reminds me a little bit, or actually reminds me a lot of the Air Force defense last week, where, you know, the defensive line might be shaky, but the linebackers, again, have been playing really well overall. And, you know, the DBs have been a little shaky overall. And so I think if you're Fresno State, you probably kind of want to do what you did last week, which is come out swinging, throw deep. Because, you know, if you look back at that first half especially, that's when they had the most success. You know, Jason Virgil on the whole averaged, I think, over 8 yards per pass for the first time basically since the Toledo game. And most of what he did in that game was in garbage time. So, you know, he wasn't the most efficient. Of course, he had, you know, the 2 interceptions that were bad luck, and then the 2 interceptions in the second half that were mostly just bad decisions. And I do have to mention it, I guess. We are finally starting to hear whispers that there might be a change at quarterback.
No.
I sincerely hope it doesn't happen.
Do not do that.
First of all, what's the point? Second of all, I really don't think Zach Klein is going to be that much better behind this garbage offensive line. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if the running game was just about as non-existent as it was last week, which is why I think you really have to lean on Virgil to just, you know, he's going to make mistakes. I think that's obvious, but I've wrote the article about it earlier this week, and his struggles aren't really all that much different from other quarterbacks in the group of 5 in similar kinds of situations. But I think if you continue to really push down the field in a way that they did last week, that they weren't doing 2 weeks ago against Utah State, to me, that is the most obvious path to a win.
Yeah, correct. And Zach Klein, he's a grad transfer, correct?
Yes, he is.
So there's 3 games left in his football season, 3 games left in his football career. Do not make a change.
Don't do it.
There's no reason to make a change. If in the offseason, new head coach is, you want to open up a quarterback battle, that's fine. But there's no reason to make a change this year.
Exactly.
I think the Rams are going to win. I don't know if they'll cover that amount, because it's still kind of a lot, because the Rams aren't anything special either. They're only 4-4. But I think what you were correct on saying, the running game, one of the 3 guys will step up. I think Nick Stevens will have another big game, and he'll play like he did in the previous game and like last year. But I still think it'll be like a 2-touchdown victory for the Rams.
I mean, I still suspect that Colorado State's been a little unlucky just because of the way their quarterback situation unfolded. You know, I expect them to cover this spread pretty handily. It wouldn't surprise me if they won by like 3 touchdowns.
Ooh. Well, we'll see what happens. Next game, Hawaii at San Diego State. This nearly could have bid for the West Division supremacy.
Sadly, it's not. Thank you. Still an interesting game, though, in a lot of respects.
Well, why do you say it's going to be an interesting game?
Is this not the toughest test that San Diego State has faced in conference play so far?
Oh, geez, is it really? Hawaii, but I'm serious.
Well, I'm just saying, look at who they played in conference action so far. They beat UNLV. They beat Fresno. They beat San Jose State and they beat Utah.
I would say Utah State should be. I think Utah State should be. Who's better in your eye right now, Utah State or Hawaii?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think depending on the way that you slice it, you know, Hawaii among those teams, I think, is probably the most explosive, which is what I think could possibly pose a challenge for this defense is, you know, Drew Brown's ability. Can he find plays down the field?
And they can actually run the ball on like Utah State.
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, I think they're probably going to have a lot tougher time running the football than they did, you know, or kind of like they did against New Mexico. But, you know, if he can find plays down the field, to me, that is where I think the game is going to be won or lost. Because if Marcus Kemp, of course, he's got 50 catches on the year. He's averaging 17 and a half yards per catch. And they've really used him as a weapon. Like even his yards per target is, you know, just above 10 yards, you know, per target every time it's thrown to him. So they've really tried to use him to stretch down the field. I think what it's going to come down to is how often he's able to find their secondary options, which to me comes down to John Ursua and Dylan Colley. Will they show up against this secondary? I don't know. I mean, obviously
there's chances for, I think there are chances for that to happen because not the point, because if you look back at the one game Aztecs lost and struggled is because South Alabama spread the ball around and Aztecs still have multiple defenders in the secondary suspended, may not play this weekend.
Yeah.
Again.
And I mean, they've been just as explosive as far as like 20 yard pass plays. You know, Hawaii is actually second in the conference thus far through five games. So I think, I'm not saying they will, but I think there's a possibility that they could if San Diego State comes out flat.
They could. Here's a couple, like they've improved their pass defense since conference played. I know they played Cal. That's kind of the way they throw. It's hard to stop them, but they had three picks and South Alabama moved it pretty well at 242. Since that South Alabama game where they allowed three touchdowns and 76% pass completion against, 9 yards allowed against UNLV, 139 versus Fresno, 142 gets a pretty good Kenny Potter QB, and only 181 versus Utah State. So they shorted up, but yeah, and I mean, this is going to be a pass attack, I think. Or not just attack, but with Drew Brown able to move the pocket and run, it'll be a different attack where, like, if Colley can get open and it's not just Marcus Kemp, there's going to be room if he, if they move the pocket or if he has to break free, more opportunities to pass the ball downfield to find somebody open, not just a traditional drop back and throw. But with his mobility, that could cause an issue or give Hawaii more chances to throw the ball than if that, if they have, like, say, a kick of Woosley back there.
Yeah, and I mean, on the flip side, you know, the one thing I would watch for with Hawaii is, you know, they've been better in conference play about stopping the run overall. I think they've, you know, their overall figure, I think, is like 5.4 yards per carry. But, you know, within conference play, that number drops, I'm trying to look it up real quick, it drops to, you know, 4.8, which is middle of the pack, which is fine, right? But if you kind of look at what they've done in the last few weeks, like they faced teams that really pushed the ball on the ground. Like UNLV had over 250 yards, 5 yards a carry. You know, Air Force ran the ball 86 times for almost 400 yards. You know, and of course, New Mexico ran for almost 6 yards a carry. And Hawaii gave up three touchdowns apiece to each of those teams. And of course, San Diego State, you know, last we checked, still has Danelle Pumphrey in the backfield.
Yeah, they do.
So to me, you know, I think they could probably, I think they will probably have similar struggles stopping Pumphrey and company the same way that they have for more or less the last month or so. The question I have is if they have those struggles, are they going to be able to make up for it with passing plays against that defense?
I don't, maybe.
Maybe. But I think that's where the game is going to be won or lost.
You think? I don't think it'll matter. I don't think it'll come down to the passing game one way or the other. This is
so what do you think it'll come down to?
Pumphrey and whatever linebacker attempts to tackle him for Hawaii.
I mean, I think we should probably give a shout out to the line. You know, the linebackers have quietly been decent, I think, on the whole. Like, we haven't really talked that much about Jelani Tavai, but know, he's a guy who I think has been kind of a cornerstone that this defense can build around. You know, obviously they probably miss Kennedy Tulima-Cielii.
For sure.
But, you know, Tavai is a sophomore, first of all, but he's leading the team in tackles for loss with 10, and he's leading the team in sacks with 3. More than that, you know, he's forced 2 fumbles. He's broken up a couple passes. He has an interception. So he's done a little bit of everything. And I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he was kind of all over the field against San Diego State. Like if he, you know, has 15, 17, 20 tackles or something like that.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, chances are it will be a long afternoon, which is really kind of a shame, though.
Hey, at least we'll get to see this game because it's on CBS Sports Network and not pay-per-view. It's we didn't mention this, but it's a 4 p.m. Pacific kickoff. I think Hawaii, they have options on offense because Paul Harris, Shayton Juice, even Stephen Lakalaka. I think Hawaii can hang around for a little bit, but I think this game will be in between what the Aztecs did against, say, Fresno and Utah State. San Jose State, or whatever, Fresno State in their last 2 games. Because Aztecs have scored 82 points, given up 16 their past 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, I don't think it'll be that big of a difference, but I think it'll be more kind of in between. Like, I think Hawaii can make enough plays, but it'll still be, I'm going to take Aztecs to cover the 21.5 points. But I think it'll be where, like a late touchdown or something to go up by 22, or not 22, that's a dumb number to choose by, but like 24, 28 points or something. But I think Hawaii will make it interesting just long enough to people to say, hey, Hawaii still is getting back there to being decent.
I would probably take the points. I still expect San Diego State to win comfortably, let's say like by like 2 scores. But, you know, I don't think this is a game you can really take lightly.
They shouldn't, no, but and I think, they're better than San Jose State. Hawaii is. They beat them, of course.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Also, real quick note, we're giving away some Hawaii tickets. So
yes.
Hawaii hosting Boise State. So in self-interest of popularity and, well, just back to interest in the game, if Hawaii wins, there might be more interest in going to the game versus Boise State. So we have a post on the website. Thank you to Keith, one of our Hawaii writers, who's graciously allowed us to give away tickets. So we have our post on the website. Read the official rules. You have to be over 18. You have to be in Hawaii. It goes until, what's it? Because it's open now. Basically, go to the article. It's pretty simple. We're not going to make it hard for you. Join, if you're not a member of our website, make an account. Try to comment. If you can't comment, check the little box that says like the community guidelines. Then you can comment. You can just say hi. You can say whatever you like. We will pick somebody at random, and you will you can win tickets. Right now, we have only 5 people entered in the contest.
That's a 20% chance of winning.
That is correct. I'm double checking. I know there's 4. There's 1 new comment as of earlier, at least the time of recording. Of course, after people listen to it, there'll be thousands of entrants for this. That would be wonderful, but it goes until, yeah, okay, we got a 5th person. I was making sure it wasn't a reply, but basically you have until it'd be 18 years or older. Obviously there'll be a will call to pick up. So the contest ends November 7th, 11 a.m mountain time. So that I think is what, 4 a.m Hawaii time, November 7th. We just want to have a couple days in advance just to get a hold of you and everything. So if you sign up for the website, make sure your email's on there. I think there's a back way I could find your email, but make it easy on me. That'd be very nice. So we're giving away tickets for that game. It's in Hawaii, tickets only. Somebody probably jokingly asked about airfare. I laughed back at them like, sorry, we don't have airfare availability. But if you
win tickets, you might as well just make it a vacation. Just go for it.
Yeah, vacation. Make a sign. Say, hey, we got tickets from this guy. Or something, but yeah, so hopefully we get a few people to maybe get some tickets, because here's the thing, when this game's also on CBS Network as well next week, or the week after, the Boise game, so it's not pay-per-view, so it's a little bit easier, but going to a football game in person and seeing a good Boise team and a much improved Hawaii team, get in on the ground floor now before they get too popular and you can't get to games, because there could be some bowl games in the Hawaii's future.
Yeah.
So check that out. And right now we'll take a quick timeout and we'll discuss the final two games in just a moment. All right, the next game. Also, a quick note with these games. We've got a lot of spreading out of games today, or, well, as we're talking about today, but Saturday. We got that noon Eastern kick. We got a 3:30, 7 p.m., 10 p.m. Eastern kick. So, a lot of kicking. If you're watching football, it's a good weekend to watch football. So, do you want to do Nevada, New Mexico next?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, it's 8:15 local time there, Mountain Time. ESPNU. Nevada at New Mexico. Lobos are a little bit of a surprise. 15-point favorite over the Wolfpack. The James Butler Wolfpack.
The Ty Gianji Wolfpack?
Yeah, Ty Gianji. No Tyler Stewart.
Okay. So I want to start by asking you this. Is there a worse mismatch that we've seen so far this year than New Mexico's running game versus Nevada's defensive line?
I'm trying to think of what matchups we have all year. I would say here, either playing Nevada or San Jose State's rushing defense versus New Mexico or say Air Force or something.
And I preface it by asking that question because I noticed something. If you go to Football Study Hall, you know, one of Bill C's five factors is efficiency, which goes by a metric that I've mentioned a couple times in past podcasts called success rate. And I'll just give you the definition real quick. What is defined as success is 50% of necessary yardage on a first down, 70% on a second down, 100% on third or fourth down. So basically, if you're getting 5 yards on first down, it's a success, and so on and so forth. Nevada is dead last in success rate on defense right now.
Uh-oh.
And when you consider that New Mexico is far and away averaging the most yards on the ground in conference, you know, 6.8 yards per carry, which is actually, I believe, it's only dipped a little bit in conference play to 6.5.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, they're really slacking there. But, you know, this is a team that's going to run the ball early and often and keep running it late as well. So my question is Nevada going to be able to withstand that?
No, they will not be able to withstand a running defense that's even close to the Lobos. There will be...
Oh, that was easy. Okay.
Well, I'm being honest. Like, there will be runs of 40 yards, 60 yards, 55 yards. Tyrion Gibson may bust out a patented 85-yard touchdown run at some point.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's not a great matchup, especially, too, when you consider that not only is New Mexico averaging 6.5 yards per carry in conference play, on the flip side, Nevada is allowing 5.7 yards per play in conference action. It's a bad matchup for the Wolfpack.
The worst. But let me say this about the Wolfpack. New Mexico's defense is nothing special either.
Yes and no. I mean, they did show up last week in Hawaii, of all places.
Yeah, but good point. But I expect James Butler to have a pretty big game against this defense running the ball. It won't be like an Air Force game where, obviously, multiple backs ran for however many hundreds of yards. But I think Butler could have a pretty good game and keep them around just enough, even... Because here's the thing, I don't trust New Mexico's defense at all. We've seen, yes, they improve versus Hawaii, and Hawaii has Paul Harris and St. Juiced and Stephen Lockalaka at times running the ball, but, and especially if Nevada goes to the actual triple option, or at least option running plays, that could, for Gianji, maybe get a few more yards. I think Nevada will be able to move the ball, but I just don't think they'll be able to keep up with what New Mexico wants to do.
I was going to say, did you realize that New Mexico's run defense is third in the conference in yards per rush?
Allowed, or?
Yeah.
Wait, am I just going off what I think I know about this team defense?
You might be.
Wait.
Because they're allowing under 4 yards a carry, which is behind only San Diego State and Air Force.
Wait a minute.
I kid you
I
not.
See it now, but I...
I think James Butler might actually a little tougher time. I think to me, the argument for a Nevada victory is whether they can find big passing plays against this defense.
Stupid New Mexico Lobos. I always look at that Air Force game where they tore it up.
Because, they haven't really been all that proficient in forcing turnovers. Like, they only have 4 interceptions on the
year. Rashawn Henderson will have a big game. Jericho Richardson.
Finally.
Hey, Henderson showed up last week, didn't he? A couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
For him?
I mean, but they've been mostly, I think a little bit below average, let's say, on, the Mexico's pass defense has, because they've given up 16 touchdowns. They've only picked off 4 passes. They're below the league average in yards per attempt. So I think there's a chance there if, Ganji especially can show the same kind of big playability he did when they nearly took down Wyoming a couple weeks ago.
Here's one thing to note as well. Nevada had a bye last week, so they've been ready for this option offense for almost 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I know it's a cliche to say, the bye came at the best time or perfect time for a bye, but for Nevada, new quarterback, playing a tough defense that's tough to prepare for on a week notice, even if you're in their conference, but your stupid stats and rushing defense made me... I just remember watching the Air Force game, but they played Louisiana Monroe. That's got to skew the stats a little bit.
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
But you're right. Like, Boise State didn't have to run. They threw at will, and they had 2.2 yards allowed. So maybe... Here's what I'll still say. Overall, let me double check the stats here. Hold on a second. Before I say something stupid, but I mean,
really podcasting.
Well, but you know what I mean. But their defense isn't overall; it's nothing special. Mm-hmm. In Mexico, because they are still something changed. They were 9th in total yards a while ago. Maybe that Monroe game is scaring me, but I got to go by the numbers. I can't say I don't trust them because numbers tell the truth for the most part. There's times where it's not, but I think you're probably correct on there where. They do give up a lot of points. I am confident in saying that. Is that fair to say? Is that an accurate statement I could bring to the table?
I believe so, yeah. I'll allow it. Let's put it that way.
Excellent. Here's the thing. New Mexico, their defense is improving. Where was this defense earlier in the year when they're playing teams like Rutgers or Boise and stuff where they could show up, or even freaking New Mexico State? I still think New Mexico is going to win, but I think Nevada can have some success. Like through the air, because Boise shredded them pretty bad. San Jose State, they threw for 300 yards. Even Air Force threw for 280. So I guess I'll have to, not guess, I will agree with you, where if Ganji could throw the ball well, that might be where they have more success. But I'm still confident Butler having a reasonably good game.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like this is a huge mismatch for the Wolfpack.
Well, so do I.
And so I kind of like the Lobos to win big in this one.
I'm trying to stretch to be nice to our Nevada fans a little bit, but I'm going to do this. Not a stupid upset pick, but I think New Mexico will be a 3 touchdown victors in this game.
Same.
Excellent. One final game. Utah State at Wyoming on ESPN2, it's official. Bowling is in effect.
Bowling, bowling, bowling.
Yes. It's a late kick, 8:15 ESPN2 Mountain Time, that is. Probably 8:30, but whatever. That's what the scheduled time is. Wyoming is only a 5-point home favorite in this matchup.
Interesting.
Because Utah State, again, Devontae Mays, he may get more carries. I don't know, because Matt Wells says nothing. And he's like, he's getting closer. He's getting closer. And technically, he's true. He played one series 2 weeks ago. He had, 8 carries last week? And then now he's playing Wyoming. But before we get to the game, the stat profile I want to chat about, because right now Wyoming is in the lead to represent the Mountain West, or excuse me, the Mountain Division in the Mountain West title game. And if you go to those profiles at Football Study Hall, they have a projection of winning out, essentially. And There's no I don't know if I'd put Wyoming still in the driver's seat to win because who they play. They are projected to beat Utah State, 58% win probability, win at UNLV, 2/3 win probability, but lose to San Diego State at home, where they are only given a 28% win probability, and then also lose at New Mexico, which is nearly a toss-up at 46%. And they're given a 5% chance of going 10-2, which would really, they only need to go 9-3 because one loss will keep them in the running. Assuming the one thing they don't want, they want to avoid, which it may not matter in this case, they want to beat New Mexico because Boise beat New Mexico. And if New Mexico beats Wyoming, but that also means Wyoming would have to beat San Diego State, which kind of throws out the window. But if there's a 3-way tie at one loss, that's the worst thing for Wyoming because that puts Boise back into it for the head to head. And then we don't need to do tiebreakers, we mentioned last week. But if Wyoming wins, they need to go 3-1 to win the conference, essentially, assuming the loss is not to New Mexico. Can they do that?
I don't see why not. I mean, I think for this particular matchup, what they need to do is, you know, pretty straightforward because if they can stop the run, I think they're well on their way to a pretty easy victory. Because, you know, obviously last week against, you know, San Diego State, you know, the Aztecs, of course, are best defense in the conference, but they were able to shut down the Utah State running game overall. And if you look at what they've done in the games that they've won versus the games that they've lost, there's a huge difference in the productivity of the running game. Like in the three games that they've won, Utah State's averaged like 6.3 yards per carry. And in the five games that they've lost, the number is just 3.2. And, you know, Wyoming's been good enough most weeks to shut down, you know, average to worse running attacks. You know, obviously, you know, you talked at length in our preview about the fact that Boise maybe should have given Jeremy McNichols a few more carries.
Yep.
But the Aggies don't have anybody like that on their roster. Like, you know, we don't know what's going on with Devontae Mays, and Tawny Lindsey has been kind of hit or miss from week to week. And, you know, as good as Kent Myers can be, he can't do it all by himself. And so, you know, he's a good runner, but, you know, he can't be the only guy to produce. Oh! And if he is, it's going to be kind of a long bless you.
Sorry, excuse me. I tried to pull the mic away. It probably helped zero.
Sorry. But anyway, I was going to say it's going to be a long evening if Kent Myers has to do everything himself.
And there's no Lawan Hunt, no signing of him, really.
Yeah.
And also one thing of note, Utah State is going to be without, where to go, safety. Okay, I'm going to try to pronounce this name. Please do not make fun of me. John Trell, that's the easy part. John Crell Rockamore, I'm assuming. Rockuemore. Rockamore?
I believe it's Rockamore.
Okay, I'm close enough. So John Trell Rockamore, he's out with a broken broken leg. I think it's with broken tibia or broken fibula, whatever that a fractured tibia. That's the exact injury. So that's a loss for them. But like you said, if there's no running game for Utah State, I give them almost zero chance to win. The Utah State defense has given up yards here and there. And Brian Hill is one of the best backs in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best backs in the nation, to be more precise. I don't think he'll have like a huge 200-yard game because those are very rare to have. But when you look at Utah State's defense, they've lost a lot. They do have Travis Seatfield back there trying to do his darndest to help that rush defense a lot against or what teams are going against them. But they're sitting at for those who know, I'm pulling up stats so I don't sound like a dummy like I did versus New Mexico. But they're giving up like over four yards a carry and 10 touchdowns. To 10 touchdowns, it's not too bad. That's what, third in the conference. So they're not allowing too many touchdowns that way. They're basically middle of the pack in yards allowed on the ground, 180 yards per game. They just don't have like a guy who, they don't have like one guy who's really going to make or break a play. And when you look at the last two games, I'm going to take the average of this because that's where they're at. Fresno, 2.9 yards per carry. San Diego State, 7 yards per carry. I would say Brian Hill probably can get 5 yards per carry.
I would agree with
that. That's fair. And so I think they're going to want to run the ball a lot. And Josh Allen, let me ask you this. Who would be your first team quarterback right now, Ripon or Josh Allen?
Oh, that is a good question. Oh, man, that's a tough choice. I think if it were me. No, you know what? I would still say Ripon, just because if you look at a lot of the numbers, like his quarterback rating is a little bit better. His touchdown to interception ratio is still a little bit better. More yards per attempt, higher completion percentage, so on and so on. And he's been asked to do more. Like he has 60 more pass attempts than Allen does as well.
Let me ask you this then. If you had three plays for a touchdown 40 yards away, who would you want?
Oh, I'd still take Ripon.
Even though Allen has that mobility factor?
This is not to denigrate Josh Allen.
I know. I agree. I'm just saying because we've seen what Allen could do when he's given the opportunity to run a little bit. That's what I'm saying. Kind of, you have a couple plays past midfield where both plays or both type of aspects are. I can't think of that word I'm saying. Run and pass or in play, essentially. I probably would as well. But Allen, outside of it, as long as he doesn't do stupid stuff like he did versus. I know it's a couple games ago, but they happened, so you still have to look at it. Eastern Michigan, Nebraska, making some plays you shouldn't. Unless that guy shows up again, Wyoming should easily. Tanner Gentry can throw the ball or can catch the ball downfield. Maybe there'll be another Statue of Liberty play they pull out because they did that. They did some trick plays with Boise State. End around reverse throw, I believe they had as well. Or wide receiver throw off a reverse. This isn't the Utah State defense we've seen over the past couple years.
Yeah, I mean, it's a defense that I think is still kind of learning how to come together. You know, one thing that I would also watch out for, especially, is that, you know, maybe no quarterback in the conference has been better in the first half of games than Josh Allen has been. Because if you look at his splits, like even if you take away the interceptions that he threw against Nebraska, because that's been kind of an aberration as a whole. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, he's still been better in the first half than in the second half. You know, he has 9 touchdowns to 1 interception in the first half of games so far this year. And, you know, 4-6 basically in the second half. So, and of course, most of those 6 were in that Nebraska game.
Yeah, there was that Eastern Michigan matchup.
But even then, you know, his completion percentage drops. I believe his yards per attempt drops a little bit. So I think if Utah State wants a chance, they're going to have to find those chances early, because they've been mostly decent with regards to stopping the passing game early in games. Like as far as quarterback rating goes, opponent's quarterback rating. Right now, they're 3rd in the conference behind San Diego State and Boise State. So, you know, I think if there is one place that could be possibly even is if they can contain the wide receivers, you know, basically prevent big plays, keep Josh Allen, you know, in check more often than not, and hope that the offense can find a little bit of traction, because that's kind of what they did last week against San Diego State. They made a few stops, but the offense just basically went nowhere.
Yeah, part of the offense is looking real quick because Rashad Lewis has been a pretty good receiver. He has 3 catches and 26 yards in his past 2 games. And he was, before that, he had 17 and 3 and back-to-back 7 reception games. So either he's hitting a wall. There either. He too has only 6 receptions in the prior 2 games after having some decent games against Boise and Air Force earlier in the year. And so it's not just Kent Myers. We mentioned before, it's a lot of drops. They're not getting open. They're not getting guys involved how they did before. Like Rashad Lewis would even have a, maybe they need to do that because he's had a couple of carries this year where they do like a little jet sweeps or something with him. Because on the air, let me double check here. I know it's not many, but he does have 5 carries for 25 yards. He's had a
that's obviously super small sample size, but if the running game's not working, give him a jet sweep or something. I don't know. They need to do something offensively kind of creative to get the ball going. Dave, Andrew Rodriguez is a punt returner. Get him a short pass or a screen or a like I said, end around or something. He can make plays and make moves on his own.
Well, I think part of the problem with that is that they already kind of do that already. Like, his yards per target is under 6 yards. He just hasn't been quite the explosive weapon that I think they hoped he would be. Because he's got 20 catches, or 21 catches rather, but only 10 yards per catch, which is maybe not what you would have expected from him.
Put him in the backfield, give him a toss or something. If he's a return guy, he should be able to make some moves that way. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of them to do something different because their offense clearly is not working what they want to, especially with the stagnant running game. Unless they're going to have Devontae Mays completely healthy and give him 25 carries, they need to do something to get the ball going because, like you mentioned, LaJuan Hunt, Tony Lindsay, nobody's running the ball well. So you got to do something, even if it's just 3 carries or something or a couple each just to see what happens. You have to do that. And while it's only it's a small favorite for Wyoming, I think it probably should be a bit more. It's at home. Weather's going to be fine. There's no issue with that. But the way Wyoming played last week or have been playing, I don't see them losing by, or excuse me, they're probably going to win by double digits in this matchup.
Yeah, I think they'll probably win by like 10 or something like that. If you want to call it like 30 to 20, that sounds about right to me.
Yeah, because the past four games, they scored over, they're averaging over 30 points a game.
Yeah.
And so it's Craig Bull's bringing what he did at North Dakota State to Wyoming, essentially, but he actually has some athletes. And I get it. Having Brian Hill helps quite a bit for anybody, but Utah State they're not the same team. They're still a year away from being, I bet next year they'll be back to where they're in the top three in the Mountain Division because Kent Myers will back, and I think Devontae Mays is back. Yeah.
I expect to see the stands in Wyoming full again.
Yes, show up.
Don't have a letdown, Wyoming fans. You know, you beat Boise. Congratulations for that. Now it's on to the next one, and you need to keep being there for your team.
Who was it that New Mexico beat before they played Boise State?
I honestly don't.
Because I remember saying, show up for that game. And I know it was the freaking Balloon Festival in Albuquerque, which is a really, really big deal. But I'm like, let's show up. You beat Boise last year. They beat San Jose State, whatever. I think I was more along the lines of, hey, beat Boise last year. They're at home. Yeah, but just show up. We got a ton of photos, videos of people sending stuff to us from Twitter. Do that again. Great atmosphere. Because when War Memorial's going, it's people don't like playing there too much when there's a big crowd.
You get the inside track to the Mountain Division. Don't
blow it. And if somehow Western Michigan doesn't win the conference title in the MAC, could we see a Cotton Bowl featuring Craig Bull?
It's a long shot, but it's not impossible.
Wyoming, should we start it now? Wyoming to the Cotton Bowl?
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be so.
I'd watch that game.
Of course. Brian Hill versus whomever. Tanner Gentry. A lot needs to happen for that because I still think a 2-loss American probably would trump them, but that'd be exciting.
Let's root for chaos.
Maybe next year because everybody's back next year on this team, right? Except for Tanner Gentry, I believe.
More or less, yeah.
Let's don't get ahead of ourselves now. We don't want to jinx anything. But Wyoming wins. I say 2 touchdowns victory. Where Utah State may have a drive or two, but Wyoming's a bit too much because they're the better team this year. Any last tidbits? We've gone way too long this show.
Nah, let's go ahead and wrap it up.
Show's then. Over. I will promise to get this on SoundCloud sooner than I have in the past week. I blame auto-uploading, not the SoundCloud, because I do Blog Talk Radio first. So I apologize. Yeah. I know not a lot of people that use SoundCloud release through us, but I still use it for other things. I know how great it is. So I'll put that up there first. So if you go to SoundCloud, you can find it there. Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher. I'll have to double-check on the status of that. But the best way is coming to our website, mwcconnection.com, and listening from there. iTunes as well. So that's our website. Check it out. we have the ticket giveaway for Hawaii Boise State. Make sure to go to that register, or basically you can just give me a whatever emoji and that counts as an entry. So
good enough.
So that's our show for tonight. And I'll end it as I always do. Hey, we're biased to get you.